Good morning and welcome to our service this week here at Erindale Alliance Church. Welcome to those of you that I'm looking out at and to those of you joining us online. We're excited to have you worshiping with us today. As we prepare for this service, we have a couple of announcements and then I want to do a reflection. But by way of announcements, just so you're aware, this is your last Sunday to RSVP. We're doing a roast beef lunch next week. Bear and Vanessa Yarborough are going to be with us. They are working in Mexico. They're coming to share what they do and also to fellowship with us, so we have a chance to actually have a fellowship meal with them. Please RSVP. That'll be back at that Welcome Center. And before I give you an opening thought, I'm going to invite my friend Casey to come. Casey is the newest member of our Global Connections team, and she has an announcement pertaining to some of the ministry that they're doing.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Casey, as Jordan said, and I've been coming to Erindale for about a year and a half now. I get to be a part of the Global Connections team here, along with Pastor Matt, Joanne Brimner, and Maurice Vellicott. I'm here to tell you a few specific ways that you can get involved with the team. It exists at Erindale to connect with our international workers around the world and to promote the work they're doing. Our goal is to make missions real to all of you at Erindale and encourage the workers we support elsewhere in the world. Right now, there's two ways you can get involved. We're currently looking to add a few members to our team, so if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, please go talk to Pastor Matt after the service. You don't need to be a pro or ultra knowledgeable about missions to get involved. Just bring a heart to serve, and we'd love to have you. Secondly, many of you know Glenn and Ruth Reimer, who run the Pleasant Hill Ministry. This Christmas, they've invited us to join with them in blessing that neighborhood. In the main lobby of Entrance A out there, you'll see a Christmas tree that we'll be decorating during these next few weeks leading up to Christmas. They're looking for mitts, not gloves, for adults and children, and boots for elementary school age kids. So if you can bring these items in sometimes before Christmas, you can hang them on the tree and place the boots underneath. Any questions can be directed to Matt or the other members of the team. And we hope you'll join with us in blessing the people of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. As I was preparing to lead us this morning, and I'm in one of those seasons where we're getting ready for a lot of different things. Some of you are going to be at Adult Senior Fellowship this week, for example, where we're into Advent. I was actually reflecting in the course of some of my conversations on the concept of hope, and that hope comes most meaningfully when we feel like we have no hope. And as I was reflecting on this, I was taken to some words in the Book of Lamentations, which we believe was written by the prophet Jeremiah, and at a time when things were very bleak for the nation of Israel and they were facing captivity. Hear the word of the Lord as the worship team prepares to lead us. Remember my afflictions and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed. Yet I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. Let's pray as the worship team comes. Gracious God, we invite you to come and meet us this morning. Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Would you fill us? Would you do your work in us as we seek to worship you and hear from you today? We commit Pastor Matthew to you as he brings the word. We commit the worship team to you as they guide us into your presence to bring you the praise due your name. Be glorified here, we ask. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we lift up his name together. Oh,
for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
Oh, Lord, we bring an offering to you. The first candle of the Advent wreath is hope. People always put their hope into something, trusting promises made will come to pass. In the past, Israel put their hope in God to send a Savior.
In Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, we read, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Presently, we recognize Jesus as the promised Savior who is long awaited. We see in 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And now we who believe have hope for a future, when all toils and striving will be done, and we can dwell with God forever. In Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4, we read,
Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and it will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall be mourning, no crying, no pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We who hope have trusted in the promises of the living God, promises of the past, in the present, and for the future.
What worldly promises try to take our eyes off of Jesus? On what do we set our hope? Is it in Emmanuel, God with us? The Savior promises from the beginning, who lived and breathed, died, and now reigns forever. Is our hope in the one who has called us to be sons and daughters of the living God? Jesus was the Savior long awaited, but no one expected him to come in such humility. But what joy it is that we have set our hopes on a Heavenly Father who loves us so much.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we do not hope in vain, but that you fulfill all of your promises. Lord, help us to hope in you and you alone, forsaking unearthly promises of happiness, knowing you are the only source of joy in life. Thank you, Father, for saving us and for being faithful to help us as we work towards glory. Amen.
Good morning, Arundel Alliance Church. I'm Cody. I'm one of the pastors here. And for those of you that are in Children's Church, now is the time to be dismissed. And Jessica's at the back, so if you could follow her to the top of the stairs to Transformation Station, that would be awesome. And for those of you that are interested in the Mandarin-speaking class, it is happening right now in Regeer Chapel. So if you guys are interested in that, you can head to Regeer Chapel. Let's go into a time of prayer now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing us all here, and we thank you for the nice weather that we've been having the last few days. We thank you for that, and we thank you for this church and the church body, Lord. I thank you for everyone here, and just pray a blessing over us all, and that you will continue to speak to us, Lord. And just continue to show us who you are in this season and in this Advent season, Lord. I pray that you can just teach us this week about what it means to hope in you and what hope looks like, Lord. And Father, I thank you for our international workers. I thank you for Village Missions of Canada and just the work that they do here in Canada, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for Jay and Kaylee Foster, as they're in Manitoba, that they were able to have a child that was born. Lord, we thank you for that, and just ask as they adjust to parentship and in ministry what that looks like, Lord. We pray that you can just give them guidance and wisdom on that you will continue to show them what that looks like, Lord. And we thank you for the work and the ministry that they do in Manitoba, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the people, two candidates that are interested in serving in Village Missions Canada, Lord. We just ask that as they consider this opportunity, that you can just speak to them and that you will bring them to the mission, Lord, that they will be able to to work for them, Lord. And we continually ask that you will bring more people to feel the call into village missions, Lord, that you will speak to them and bring more people to the mission, Lord. And so we thank you for what they do, Lord. And Father, we just ask that as there's new opportunities within village missions to be on the board, that you will provide the right people for the opportunities there, Lord. And so we just thank you for village missions, Lord, and just the work that they continue to do in Canada, Lord, and just pray a blessing over them and give the board direction and wisdom as they continue to move forward, Lord, and bring more people. And Father, I thank you for Mary Ann's in Cambodia, Father, for the ministry that happens there and for all the workers that work there, Lord. We thank you for them and just the ability that we were able to do there, Lord. And Father, I pray just for Cambodia and just as they work there, that you can continue to bring more people and more people to know who you are, Father. And Father, we thank you for the vision trip that happened there, that people were able to go on that and learn about you, Lord. We thank you and pray a blessing over those people, the 9 people that went there, Lord. And Father, we pray for the high school that's going to open in January. We just ask that they're able to open up in January, that you will provide the people there and that everything will work smoothly and that you can just give them wisdom as they move forward, Father. And Father, just as we pray for structures and the structures there, as they had some serious flooding for their place of rescue, Lord, and we just ask that as they are looking forward to moving forward with the damages that may have been done, that you can provide financially for them, that they will be able to restore the foundation, Lord, and that you can just give them wisdom on that, Father. And God, we just ask that you can provide more workers as well there in Cambodia, Lord, in that ministry. So we just thank you for our international workers here in Canada and abroad, Lord. We thank you for the work that they do and just continue that. Pray that you will continue to bring more people and, more importantly, that your gospel can go out and that people can come to know you and that you will continue to speak. And Father, we just thank you for the District Alliance Churches. We thank you for Prince Albert and Prince Albert New Life Indian and the Regina Chinese Alliance, Lord. We thank you for these churches and just ask that you continue to help these ministries flourish, that you give leadership the wisdom. And as Sunday service goes on at these churches, that you can bring people to know you deeper, Lord, into the deeper life and what that looks like. Just pray you can continue to do that. And Father, we thank you for our church and the ministries that happen weekly and here on Sunday. I pray for the children's ministry, Lord, that the children can be attentive to listening and that you can just speak to them, that they can learn new things about you, Lord, and that, yeah, we just pray a blessing over the ministry and just be with the leaders that are leading with it, leading it, Lord, that you can be present and that they can just be led by you, Father. And Father, we just commit the benevolent fund to you today. As it's Communion Sunday, we thank you for that and just ask and commit that to you. And we commit the finances to you as well, Lord, that you provide and that you just provide a giving family, Lord, as we already are. We thank you for the giving that we do and receive, Lord. And Father, I pray for Pastor Matt as he comes up and presents the message on hope, that you can just use him, Lord, that we can be attentive to listening and that you can convict us, Lord. So we thank you for all that you do in your wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Cody, for that. Today we're going to be talking about hope, as Pastor Cody said, and as the Advent reading was read. And this hope is not the hope that I am right now trying really hard to not think of, Team Canada in the World Cup. I've been trying so hard not to think about that. And we're not talking necessarily about that hope right now that we all have. I'm sure you, with me, hoping that we score our first ever World Cup goal, hoping that we win, right? The first ever World Cup game we've ever won. I mean, that would be amazing. But I'm not talking about that. I'm actually going to be talking more about the hope that most Canadians probably had for the last 36 years, where Team Canada was not making it to the World Cups. It's more about hope in the hard times. That's really the message that I want to share with you all today. So hopefully this goes well. I want to read some lyrics from a song. So there's a band called King's Kaleidoscope. It's a weird band name, but yeah, someone knows them. That's impressive. There we go. That's some of our young adults. Woohoo. So they have a song. It's called A Prayer, and it's a really powerful song for me personally. Now, it is not a worship song, but it is a song from Christians who are trying through music to reveal the heart of someone struggling. So this is the words that he starts with in this song. If I fall or if I misstep, will I fall or will I misstep? Will I call you with my last breath? Will you be there for me after? Will I waste out inside in silence where the fear is vicious violent? Wicked sinner thrown to lions with no hope on the horizon. Will I fall or will I misstep? That's verse one. And I'm going to go on to verse two. If I fall or if I misstep, if I call you with my last breath, will you be there for me after? Because I'm wasting away in this silence. And my fear is vicious violent. I am a child thrown to lions. Is there hope on the horizon if I fall or if I misstep? It's the singer is speaking at from the depths of someone who is struggling. Who is struggling to have hope. Who is actually in the midst of a trying time, trying to understand where is God. And after saying these lines, he repeats over and over again, Jesus, where are you? Am I still beside you? And he repeats it, and he repeats it. It's the cry of his heart. Where am I? Am I still beside you? Where are you? Sometimes it's hard to have hope. Hope is not something we typically have when things are going well. We don't normally talk about our hope when life is easy breezy. Hope typically is something we talk about and we think about and we dwell on in the midst of trying times, in the midst of sorrow. Hope is something that we need to cling to when we have been let down, when our bodies are wasting away, when we get that dreaded news that we have cancer. When we struggle with relationships, with parents, with siblings, with your kids, with your spouses, when your jobs are taken away. Those are the times in which you need hope the most. And so today, I want to look at I'm going to do a little survey of Scripture. I want to look and see what we can gain as far as our hope in looking at the past. That's the first thing and the first point of today's sermon, and I don't have slides today. This was just a week that it was, no slides. I'm not as good as Jordan with this, you know, so sometimes I can't get it. But the first point today is that hope comes from looking at the past. And we're going to do a little survey going through Scripture. So open up your Bibles and just open up to Genesis 1. We're going to look through some different things, look through the past, and try to see how we can have hope in the midst of a hopeless experience, a hopeless time, a hard time, and how we can have hope. So turn to Genesis, and again, we're going to start in Genesis 1, and this is a survey, so we're not going to spend a lot of time kind of at any place. There'll be one place we'll slow down a little bit. But Genesis 1, verse 27, is the starting point. Hope comes from looking at the past, and the first thing we see when we look at the past is that God is our creator. I'll read Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And I'll read 28. He blessed them, and God said, let them be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. And it continues on to say that he saw all that he had made and it was good. So right from the beginning, we can have hope because God is our creator. God has made you and I. He is the creator of this earth. He is the creator of our bodies. I'm going to read from Psalms 130, and you can turn there too. Again, this is a bit of a flip around thing. This is almost like a sword drill over and over again. But you don't have to turn to each one. Psalms 130, 9 says this even better. Psalms 139, verse 13. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And going on later in 15, my bones were not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days are written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God is our creator. He has made you. He has made you. He's made me. He's made each one of us. And in that understanding that God is our creator, we can have hope. Hope comes in recognizing, Hope comes from recognizing that God, the Lord, the all-powerful, has made you uniquely who you are. He has knit you together in the secrets of your mother's womb. Before you were even born, he knew everything you would do. So the starting point of our hope, the starting thing is that awe-inspiring realization that God has made us. That right there, I could just drop the mic and be done. I could walk off the stage and we're good. Because when we realize that God created each one of us, that God has made us, that God has empowered us, that he has created us for a reason, in that we have hope. But let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's look at Abraham and Sarah. So turn to Genesis 12. Here we're going to go through Genesis, a few little verses. I'm going to talk you through Abraham's life. But you'll see really quickly how Abraham is a good picture of this hope. So not only do we recognize that God is our creator, and that gives us hope, but we see in the past how he's been faithful to his people. And Abraham is the first one we'll look at. Abraham and Sarah. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "The Lord said to Abraham," and again, he hasn't had his name changed yet, but I'm going to call him Abraham. "Abraham, go to your land, go from your land, your relatives and your father's house, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God calls Abraham. God calls Abraham and tells him, "I will make you into a great nation. I will make you into a great nation." Now, at this time, Abraham is 75 years old. So he'll live to be about 140, I believe. I think that's right. I can't quite remember. But he'll live to be about 140. And so this is about, a little over halfway. It's at 75 years old that he is told, "I will make you into a great nation." But that's not necessarily young. I mean, again, they lived a little older back then, but still, that's not like he's young. He's still over 50% of his life. So if you take that in today's world, that's like 40, 45 right now, being told, "I'll make you into a great nation." And I feel like that would be a bit of like a weird moment of like, I'm halfway through my life and now I'm going to be made into a great nation. And my wife, Sarah, is not able to have kids or so far has not been able to. This is interesting. Now, flip the page a little bit to chapter 15, verse 4. Chapter 15, verse 4, God reaffirms that he will give him an heir and make him into a nation. Verse 4 says this. "Now the word of the Lord came to him," this is Abraham, "this one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, 'Look at the sky and count the stars, if you're able to count them.' Then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. Now again, Abraham's not young, and time has passed since his first initial call. Since God has called him and chosen him, time has passed and he still hasn't had a kid. And he's wondering about this concept, like, what am I going to do? I don't have anyone. A slave is going to be my heir. And God's like, no, I will give you someone from your own body. And in Genesis 16, we see Hagar and Ishmael, where Sarah and Abraham stop really having that hope. And think about that for a second before you pass judgment. Abraham is 75 when he's told he's going to have a kid. And what we know about Abraham, he's approximately 10 years older than Sarah. So Sarah was also old. And at this point, she's thinking, oh, this is kind of miraculous. I'm going to have a kid. But by the time Hagar and Ishmael happens, and I'll explain a little bit of what happens there, but by the time that happens, Abraham is 86 years old. 11 years have passed from the initial promise. 11 years of faithfully, hopefully waiting for God to give them a child. And think for a second about Sarah. Put yourself in Sarah's shoes, where you are sitting hoping that this promise would come true, and 11 years goes by and you still have nothing. Yes, God has reaffirmed that he's going to do something, but time is the greatest enemy, right? Through time, we wait, and at some point, we get a little restless, and that's what happens. They try taking matters into their own hands, and then they concoct a scheme where Hagar will bear Abraham a son, and this is not quite the way God had intended it. And in fact, it actually leads to problems that in today's world we're still seeing between Jews and Muslims. But we go move a little further to chapter 17, verse 7, and we read that God again would be his heir, but it would be with a specific person. So verse 7 of chapter 17, I will confirm my covenant that is between you and me and your future offspring through their generations. It is a permanent covenant that I will be your God. God reaffirms his covenant. And in verse 16, he reaffirms that it's not going to be through Ishmael, but through someone from his own, someone from Sarah. So verse 16 continues the story. I will bless her, talking about Sarah indeed. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will produce nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And again, Abraham falls down and laughs to himself. Can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth? We see this struggle with the promise. Sarah, I cannot imagine what she would have felt. I just went through, three situations, circumstances, where God tells her through Abraham that she's going to have a child, and at each time she's promised that, it doesn't happen right away. So I'm just thinking, every month that went by, for those first 10 years after the initial promise, she was disappointed. Every month for 10 years. Then, not only for 10 years, but when the whole Ishmael thing happens, that was 10 years from the initial promise. Well, from there, it's 14 years before the promise is fulfilled. So in a grand total, it's 25 years. 25 years of every single month knowing that God has promised you something and being disappointed. Hope. Where does your hope come from, right? If it stopped there, it would be hopeless. If it stopped, there'd be hopeless, but it obviously does not. We all know the story. Sarah has a child. Sarah has Isaac, whom God again promises to be his God and will bless Isaac and his descendants. And through that comes Jacob and their descendants. So sometimes hope feels dangerous. For Sarah, hope would have felt very dangerous. And for 25 years, she would have struggled with that hope of knowing God had promised something. And we see that wrestle. You can look at it more. Her inward toil of what would that look like? Even the struggle for Abraham, which leads them to do silly things. But it makes sense. It's been time. But in the end, God comes through. In the end, God comes through to them. He fulfills his promise. In the end, God is faithful to Abraham and Sarah and the promises that he had made to them. Now, God promised to be with them, with Isaac, with Jacob and his descendants. And that takes us to an interesting story with Joseph. Joseph, as you all know, and I'm not going to go through all the scripture here this time, but Joseph, he was loved by Jacob, right? The colored coat, the many-colored coat. Joseph was loved by Jacob and despised by his brothers because the brothers saw the love that their fathers had for Jacob and were jealous. And that leads the brothers to do something silly. They sell him into slavery. He goes to Egypt as a slave and works in Potiphar's house. He works in Potiphar's house as a servant and does amazing things because God is with him. But in that, Potiphar's wife continues to try and pry him to have sex with him. And it is this sad story of someone. Actually, it's not a sad story. It's actually an awesome story where Joseph keeps saying, no, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this. And it continually, time after time, Potiphar's wife comes to him and tries to entice him. He says, no, not a chance. And it leads to Potiphar's wife falsely accusing him. And he ends up in prison again, from slavery to prison now. And for a time, he's in prison. And he's, again, is blessed by God, but in a hopeless place. He's gone from being with his family to being enslaved to being now in jail. And we know the story, right? Where there's the cupbearer and the baker, and they come and they have these dreams, and Joseph interprets them for him. And the cupbearer is freed and is supposed to remember Joseph, and he doesn't. For 2 years, again, after this, he does not remember. He's sitting in prison, hopeless in a way. And yet, through Joseph's life, through the majority of Joseph's life at this point, it would have been a very difficult situation, continually having it go lower and lower, with little ups but mostly downs, right? But in the end, God is faithful, and he uses Joseph to save all of the Israelites, not just one Israelite, every single one of the Israelites, because there's a famine, and they come to Egypt, and he is, through circumstances, placed in a position of power and authority. And through God's wisdom is able to do things and save people that confound the nations. God is faithful to Joseph. God is faithful. Now turn in Exodus. We're going to just do one or two more. One more. Exodus. Exodus 3. At this point, the Israelites have been sitting in captivity in Egypt for years, hundreds of years, right? We all know the story, I think, quite well, and if you don't, I encourage you to do a little research, do a little reading. The end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus tie the story together a little bit, but Israel right now is being abused. They're being enslaved, they're being mistreated. And the best thing of all, the best verse of probably all of Exodus, in my opinion, that this is probably not true, but for me, I love this verse. Exodus 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know their sufferings. I have observed their misery. I know their sufferings. And this verse leads to him, to God, freeing the Israelites, from God redeeming the Israelites, his people who are in slavery. Again, God is faithful, but not only is he faithful, he is listening to their cries. And we see this continually over and over again, not just with the Israelites, but with people who weren't even Israelites, with Rahab, right, who hides the spies and becomes a part of the family of God. Even though she was not an Israelite, she had faith. She feared the Lord. She confessed her faith in God, and in the end is part of the lineage of the Messiah, Christ. And that takes us to the last part of history that shows how God is faithful, and that is the faithfulness of God in bringing the Messiah. The Messiah was prophesied over and over and over again in Scripture. We actually read the second passage we read today was Genesis 12, verse 3, which talks about Abraham being a great nation. And that is actually fulfilled in the Messiah. We see that in Acts 3. Peter explains this for us. So he even interprets it for us. We don't even have to guess. We know that this finds its final fulfillment in Christ. That in Christ, all nations on earth would be blessed. Deuteronomy 18 says that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers, and you must listen to him. Again, a messianic prophecy. In Jeremiah 23:5, it says, I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Again, messianic prophecy. And we know very well what is said in Isaiah, that a virgin will be with child. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And finally, Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities and punished. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. Continually throughout Scripture, God promises a Messiah who will redeem his people from their iniquities, from their sin, from their shame. And it takes book after book of these prophecies until we see the final fulfillment in Christ, the final fulfillment in Jesus Christ, who comes, who dies on a cross for our sins, freeing us from death and giving us new life through his resurrection. So when we look at the past, when we look at how God treated the Israelites, when we kind of do a survey of the Old Testament and what God said, what God did, we see that he is faithful. He is always faithful. He is always faithful to fulfill his promises. So when we think about hope in a hopeless situation, we start by looking at the past. God created us, and God is faithful. But not only do we look at the past and how God creates us and is faithful, we also need to understand the future. We need to understand that death is not the end. Jesus actually says this to Martha in John 11. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus shares with Martha and Mary that he is the resurrection, that there is life after death. So hope comes in realizing death is not the end. And one of the Advent readings, which I'd like, let's all turn there. Turn to Revelations 21, the last book of the Bible at the very end of the book. Revelations 21, verse 3 and 4, which was read here in the Advent reading. Let's read it again together. Revelations 21, verse 3 and 4. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their heir, or be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. In the end, we have this picture of a new heaven and a new earth. We have this picture of a new life that comes after death. That death is not the end, but death is just the beginning. Francis Chan, and I mean many people do this, have a great illustration with a long rope. And we can do this with anything here. I can do this with right here, right? This. This. You can picture this to be your life, right? All of this is your life. But hopefully this isn't on. If so, it's going to, yeah, phew. But if you, sorry to whoever's mic this is, but if you take your life and you think this is all your life on earth is simply one thing. Just this little, I didn't even say, it's just this little bit of the tip of this cord. But this is all the life that you will live. And in fact, it just keeps going, right? These cords are endless. They just go everywhere over the stage. You can't even find where it begins. But your life on earth is just the beginning. death is not the end, but just the beginning. And with that, we have hope. We have hope no matter what we are going through, because we understand not only is God faithful, but in the end, there's an excitement end to life where death will be no more, pain will be no more, suffering will be no more. We will be gloriously celebrating God in heaven. And this is actually a unique thing that separates us from all other religions. I don't know if you know that, but we are one of the only religions, in fact, the only one I know, that celebrates and is excited for our death, that is excited to die, excited to see God face to face, excited to be in a place in this new heaven and new earth where there is no pain, no shame, no guilt, where sin is completely gone, where we are new bodies. We are unique in our excitement for the future. So when we look at the past and we look at the future, this affects our present. This gives us hope for whatever we are dealing with right now. And I'm not going to pretend I know what you're going through, but I know we all go through difficult things. Life sometimes feels hopeless. But there is hope. For some of you today here, maybe those of you here or online, you need the hope of forgiveness. You've never given Christ your heart, your life. There is hope in Jesus Christ the Messiah, because he can forgive, because he can protect, because he can remove the shame and guilt that you are feeling. There's hope. There's forgiveness. There's peace. There's joy. Not only, though, is there hope in being forgiven, there is hope because we know from verses like Exodus 3:7, that God hears us. Hear that for a second. When you are at your house, by yourself, on your knees, crying in despair, God hears you. God is right there with you. God is listening. When our bodies let us down, when our relationships let us down, when our jobs, when our homes, when our situations in life let us down, and there is no hope, there's seemingly no hope, when you are like the singer that I said from the beginning, who's struggling right now, where are you, God? Am I even near you? I don't hear you. I feel like you are silent. Where are you? There is hope. We know that he hears us. So take heart in knowing that when you cry out to God, he hears you. Take heart knowing that not only does he hear you, but he cares for you because he made you. More than the best earthly parent you've ever had, God cares even miles beyond that for you. For you. Have hope. God hears you. He cares for you. And that may not change your situation. You may still struggle. I think of Job. Job is one of the best pictures of hope, because he goes from being blessed in an amazing way to losing everything. Everything. He has nothing. He has nothing. And he sits and says, God, where are you? I want to meet with you. I want to know what happened. What has separated me from you? What has caused this disaster to happen to me? And he sits, and it's a long book to symbolize just how long he sits there for. It's a long time. But in the end, God shows up, and he does not change his situation. Not initially. God shows up, and when God meets with Job face to face, Job is at back. He is in awe. He has no words. In fact, all he says is, woe is me. I spoke out of ignorance. I'm so sorry. Lord, I love you. That's all he says. That's Matthew's words, not scripture, but you get the gist. He actually goes and says, God, I'm not even worthy to say. Everything I've just said is useless, is meaningless. I spoke out of ignorance. And all God did is show up and say, hey, I'm God. in Job, we have a great picture of hope because even though Job had nothing, everything had been taken away, when God showed up, it was fine. Job was not only fine, he was celebrating and worshiping his God who created him, even though he had just lost everything. What a picture of hope that is, that our God is bigger than anything we're going through. And though we may not get stuff back, it's not about blessings and being blessed. It's about meeting our Christ. It's about meeting our God and the fact that he listens. And King's Kaleidoscope ends that song that I started the service with in a powerful way. The singer is crying out in his despair, and then there's a long pause in the song. I encourage you to listen to it. It's a long pause where there's just nothingness. And then with a triumphant, like, boom, the song goes to God's perspective where he says these words: "I'm right beside you. I feel what you feel. I am here to hold you when death is too real. You know I died too. I was terrified. I gave myself for you. I was crucified. Because I love you. I love you, child. I love you." God loves you. Even when the world seems like everything is against you, even when you feel hopeless, there is hope because God, who created you, who has been consistently faithful from Scripture, who listens to our cries, because God loves you so much so that he died to save you. May that thing, as we think of Advent and the coming of Christ, may that realization help you right now. If even one of you is able to have hope in that, take hope that God hears you and that God loves you. Let's pray. Lord God, you know our hearts. Lord, you know that some of us right now are in the pits of despair, that we are walking, some of us walking through the shadows of death and darkness. We are looking for you, our good shepherd. Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, we are thankful that you hear, but we ask that you would reveal yourself to us in our despair. Lord, we are thankful that you have offered forgiveness from our sins, freedom from guilt and shame. Lord, we are thankful that in you there is life and life eternal, that death is not the end, that whatever struggles we are going through right now is not the end. But in the end, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that you are Lord, and we will spend eternity worshiping you in heaven. Lord, give us hope, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured. From heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you.
As we prepare for our time of communion, if you did not receive a communion cup and you require one, please just make eye contact. The ushers have some extra baskets, and they will happily bring that around to you. And as we're preparing, also so that you know, we do a benevolent fund, and because we don't pass plates like we once did coming out of COVID, we've got some new protocols and some new approaches in place. There are boxes at the back. You can put an envelope in the box at the back and note that it's for benevolent offering. You can drop it off here at the office during the week. Normal office hours are Monday through Thursday. There is also the option to go online, and that information is in the e-bulletin, but just to draw your attention to it. And for those of you wondering, yes, Benevolent Fund is charitable receiptable. If we know who you are and your name's on the envelope, they follow very clear guidelines from the CRA, and our deacons team leads that and oversees that. And particularly coming into the Christmas season, there's often some practical needs, and the deacons are aware of those. And if you know of a need that they don't know about, please let the deacons team know, and they will try and help as they're able to. As we prepare for communion, I'd like to remind us of Paul's words. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Pastor Matthew is sharing with us this concept of hope today. And keep in mind these words that Jesus gives. This is on literally the evening where the hope of the disciples will come crashing down, and they will see their Lord and Master nailed to a cross, and they'll spend a couple of days going, what just happened? They'll spend a few days with no hope, seemingly, as Jesus is in the ground. But then on that third day, when he arises, and Peter and John will go and they will find an empty tomb, and the women will come back and bring news before that, telling Peter and John, you need to come check this out, because he who was dead is now alive. He was dead, he's buried, he's resurrected, that we might be forgiven. Hear also these words. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Let each person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. Whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we would not be condemned with the world. So prior to partaking of this, let's take a few moments and invite the Spirit of God to reveal to us, are there things that we need to be addressing? Are there sins in our soul? Are there places we have not sought the forgiveness of Jesus, bought at the price of his body broken and his blood shed on the cross long ago? Let's take a few moments in self-reflection. Holy God, we come before you as your people, in person, online. We are your people, your community. Holy Spirit, do your work in our hearts and in our lives. Where there's sin, would you bring conviction? Where there's repentance, would you bring assurance of forgiveness? And Holy Lord, as we celebrate communion today, remind us of the hope that we have. A hope that Abraham could only anticipate, a hope that Joseph only caught a glimpse of, a hope that Job didn't even understand, but that now we have in you the promise of new life, eternity with you. As we eat this bread, Holy God, we proclaim we serve a resurrected God. We live for a resurrected King, who is coming back soon. Come soon, Lord Jesus. And as we partake in this communion, would you bless us? Would you mold us? Would you shape us? Would you forgive us? Would you heal us and be glorified, we ask. In your name, Jesus. Amen. The body of Christ broken for our forgiveness. Let's partake together. And would you bow again? Lord, we don't understand what the cross cost you. We don't understand the suffering and the pain that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross. Thank you for shedding the blood that washes us clean. Continue your work in us. Continue your work through us. And Holy God, be glorified, we ask. Amen. The blood of Christ that is shed for us. Let's partake together. as the worship team prepares to lead us in the final song. If you would like prayer for healing, feel free to come forward at the end of the service. You can gather up here in the front rows. We have oil. We have a team that would love to anoint you and to pray with you, be it physical, emotional, spiritual. But feel free to come if you require healing at the end of this next song.
Please stand with us as we sing together.
Starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found? In the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel,
as I do the benediction, just a reminder that there is prayer available. So come forward if you want a prayer, and remember, no matter what you're going through, there is hope. Hear this from Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bring hope into your life. You are dismissed. Go and have a great rest of your week. Thank you.